and see if I have like anything topical here to talk about with my first guest, Buster Ferris. Buster, are you there?
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
how's it going?
Hey, it's going really well. I'm actually like super energized just by the thought of talking about pizza and other foods for 2 hours with an expert such as yourself. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'd hardly say I'm an expert, but I will wing it.
Well, let's go. Anybody who comes on a pizza party here at Filter I consider them a pizza expert. I probably wouldn't let somebody who said that they didn't like pizza onto this show about to talk about anything, really. It would be like zero. There would be just zero play. It wouldn't happen. And you, let's talk about your qualifications as a pizza expert, because I know some of them. I don't always know people's qualifications, but they usually have them. You are a Cordon Bleu trained chef. Is this correct?
No.
Oh.
I did not go to Cordon Bleu. I went to the Culinary Institute of America. I'm a CIA chef.
You're a CIA agent. Isn't that better than Cordon Bleu?
I think it is.
Yeah, so what's the difference? What's the difference, and why are you better than those guys?
Well, I wouldn't know if I'm better or not, but I think the main difference is I went off and spent more money.
Wait, so Cordon Bleu is cheaper than the CIA?
I don't actually know, but basically I went off to school like any other college for a few years, and my focus just happened to be food, whereas, you know, everyone else did whatever they did.
So do the Cordon Bleu people, are they like into French food only? And so maybe they wouldn't even like let you make pizza if you're a Cordon Bleu chef.
You know, I don't really associate with them, so I don't really know, but I would imagine that's a pretty good guess.
I'm going to go with it as fact, and I'll remind our listeners that all opinions that you hear on Filter are the opinions of myself or my guests, and do not represent... We are experts, but we do not represent the pizza opinions of the station management, and especially Ruby Fitch. We don't represent her pizza opinions. But you know, who knows, we may try to, but yeah, these are just our own pizza opinions and other opinions. So what is the CIA for people who don't know, other than, you know, a worldwide espionage network funded by the United States government?
Well, I guess the CIA, I went to, Culinary Institute of America. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of people that go there now. They got a few different campuses, but, I went to the original in New York, and it was a 2-year program with a year-long internship. And basically, the whole time, it's all about food and running restaurants and owning restaurants and how to do all that.
That's
basically,
rad.
If you love food, it's the best thing you could do.
So what was the best thing that you made there? What was your favorite thing that you made while you were at school there?
I love making pizza and pasta.
Yeah? Okay. So that's perfect. So pizza and pasta. Do you have a preference, or do you ever put pasta on pizza, dog?
Pasta on pizza? Yeah, I haven't done it, but I'm sure I would.
You're open to it?
Yeah, I'm very open.
I think you know my former roommate, Andreas Andreatis, and he and I at one point put This was some shameful SH word. We came back from a hike or something, and I had gotten a stuffed crust, DiGiorno's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, the stuffed crust is like, it's like crack. It's so bad for you. It feels bad. And I don't mean to, like, belittle crack or make light of crack. I shouldn't do that.
No.
But it is all you want when you think about it and you taste a little bit of it. I'm salivating now. This will be a lot of salivating on it. And
I remember the first time I had it, and I've been chasing that, you know, high ever since, really.
Yes. Yeah, and it's never as good, right? So
never.
It's never as good. It's only in your mind and only in those commercials, like, how good it is. And I think we took – what we did was we had the pizza, and then I boiled some hot dogs – and I just like, I didn't even cut up the hot dogs. What I did was I like Philly tacoed the hot dog. So the bun became the God, I'm sorry, it's gonna be a lot of salivating this episode. the bun became the hot dog bun. And I think we fell asleep. I fell asleep like 20 minutes after that meal, and I didn't wake up till like the next day at 11 a.m.
That's amazing. I remember when I was younger and a little more wild, we made pizza burritos.
Oh, what?
Basically, we would just take frozen pizzas and pretend they were the tortilla and then fill it with burrito-like stuff.
Oh, my God. And so wait. Let me just imagine this for our listeners and for me. So you would take a whole pizza.
Whole frozen pizza and then bake it. Par bake it and then wrap it around basically a bunch of steak and onions and stuff, and then wrap it up and finish the bake and just eat the whole thing.
So it was steak and onions. So you kind of did you take your fillings in a like traditional, more like southern, you know, Mexican burrito style fillings, or was it just whatever you had on hand, or you
whatever
know, yeah.
was laying around?
Gotcha. So you weren't like putting pizza ingredients into the middle of your pizza burrito, because that would have been sick cannibalism, weird type of behavior that I would have totally endorsed. But is that the most like is that the most offensive kind of food you've ever made? What's the most offensive like food that you look back on and you're like, I can't believe I did that. That was awful. Is the pizza burrito the top there, or is there something else that you'd like to confess to us now?
Oh boy. That's a long list.
Well, just give us one.
I mean, what's coming to mind right now is like whole cubes of Velveeta cheese and ramen. That's pretty up there. We used to take pizzas, also wrap them up and deep fry them. That was pretty good.
Wait, you wrapped up pizza? You deep fried what?
The whole pizza.
Oh my God. Wait,
you fold it up kind of like a Crunchwrap Supreme, and bread it and deep fry it.
No. You did a panko breading on this?
Yeah, give or take.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So what even is that? Is that like pizza and chips? Like,
man, I don't know what that was, but it was delicious.
Oh, my God. You know what? I could eat that. You know, I'm seeing CJ's 10 piece, but instead of 10 piece, it's like individual, you know, it's like pizza slices. Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's next level for sure.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the things we could do if it wasn't COVID times and, you know, and if we hated our bodies and we wanted to die soon. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. But we all had deep fryers. I think
that's the other thing. Yeah. I mean, like there's no point in owning a deep fryer, and that's why people are like, I'm gonna make fish and chips at home. I'm like, why would you ever do that? Get it at a restaurant, you know. People are like,
I agree with that 100%.
Why would you do it, you know, like these things that people try and make at home, that they're better left to people with fryers and they can clean up the oil. I mean,
yeah, and then your house smells like old fish for days, and it's just
god. Yeah, and you accidentally
like When have you ever had French fries better than McDonald's? I have never.
Wow. You know what? I finally had Chick-fil-A, right? I had Chick-fil-A for the first time. And I was like, God, they're homophobic. Oh, here comes the opinion thing. My opinion is my own. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's like a homophobic company. I'm like pretty disgusted by their behavior in the public sphere, but it wasn't enough for me to say, yeah, okay, yeah, let's go into Chick-fil-A, and I need to just know what this is like. I got a spicy chicken sandwich, and the waffle fries that are just so thick, and man, it's like it redefines a potato in some ways. It's almost not a fry, but then that Chick-fil-A sauce, it was the bomb.
Man.
Holy crap!
Yeah. No, the best place in America to have Chick-fil-A is the Atlanta airport, 100%. Like, it is just on a different level there for some reason.
Really?
But, yeah, I don't know. They, like, have all these weird off-menu things, or they recommendations where they tell you, like, dump all the waffle fries in your bag and then put two of these sauces in, shake it up. And it's just, it's changed my world.
Whoa. So, and it was different in the South. It just tasted different?
I don't know if it was just the airport or the mood I was in or what I'd been doing the night before, but it was different.
Well, I'm sure you deny all knowledge of whatever you were doing the night before.
Yeah, like you said, those were opinions.
Oh man, yeah. So yeah, French fry, getting it, making it at home, never worth
never,
it.
Never, you know, not in my opinion, at least. But
I'd rather eat frozen Cisco fries.
Little insider tip, though, if you get some truffle salt, you go down to McDonald's and you tell them you want your fries without salt. Then they gotta cook them fresh, and then you add the truffle salt, and now you're talking luxury.
Wow. Okay. So you don't think truffle salt is like overrated? You know. That, like,
I mean, everything's
overrated. Over under on truffle salt is. There's times where I like it, but you know, I you know have some at my house, and the last time that I used it was I put it on popcorn, and I think I put too much on the popcorn because you know I can appreciate the flavor of truffles a little bit, but now it's just like I just remember that overkill. So you're right. It's overrated because
it's
I overused
it.
It's
definitely one of those things that like you want to be in control of, I feel. Like, you don't just let anyone truffle your salt, you know?
Well, I promise that I won't. I'll keep my truffles to myself.
There you go.
And, well, for the most part. So we're talking about pizza today, and of course we're going to talk more about pizza, but we're going to talk about all foods or whatever we feel like talking about, because this is one of these episodes where it's just like, okay, we talked about a bunch of serious stuff, but now we have to talk about some of the most important things in this world, which is eating for me, because the weight of my heart is through my stomach. And Buster, I don't know if you heard our last pizza episode, but you know, I've had several food episodes without having you, and I've had several people be like, why aren't you talking to Buster? Why aren't you talking to Buster? And you know what? You're right. They're right. And
that's
I'm sorry.
Scary.
And it's, you know, it's time. It's time, you know, moves slowly and inexorably sometimes, but like here we are. And I want to know everything that you know. If pizza is your favorite food, what's your favorite kind of pizza?
This is probably going to bum a lot of people out, but I'm a Canadian bacon pineapple guy to my core. And I just cannot get enough of it. I don't care where it comes from, but put the pineapple on the pizza.
Always. And you're talking about, you know, Canadian bacon, so basically like ham.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the real difference between Canadian bacon and ham? I don't fully understand it.
One's Canadian.
So it's lesser or better?
I think it's great either way.
Okay.
I'm a ham man through and through, I guess, as well. So
every time you order a pizza, if you're getting it from like Waterfront or Farino's or even Penny Saver, you're going, you know, ham or Canadian bacon, sorry, Canadian bacon and pineapple pretty much every time?
Well, that's like when I'm left my own devices. If Jacqueline's not around, yes. But if she is, I've become very partial to the double mushroom, double cheese.
Whoa. Wait, I haven't heard of this. Can you explain?
Yeah. Penny Saver, in my humble opinion, makes a great pizza. And if you go and get the double mushroom, double cheese, it's basically just quadruple topping. I think it's like $13.95. It is phenomenal.
So at $13.95 for double mushroom, double cheese, and no meat on it, just the mushrooms are just kind of standing there for the meat. And
they're there. They're doing something, but they're doing it right.
Oh, my God.
That actually sounds really,
really good.
I'd say lately I've been getting it once a week minimum.
Wow. And that's from Penny Saver specifically, right?
Yeah, I mean, I will get it from anywhere. But, yeah, Penny Saver's version is really high up there. It's dear to my heart at the moment, for sure.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, that's a strong opinion, but one I feel like is coming from a place of knowledge.
To be fair, I'm a Penny Saver man to the core. I was raised on Penny Saver pizza. You know, one of my earliest memories is, you know, my dad dragging me from the boatyard to Penny Saver to get sausage, personal pizzas, and strawberry milk. So,
oh my God,
I may be a little biased.
That is so sweet. Oh, yeah. I love that. And so you like strawberry milk too? I'm not alone.
Yeah. No. It's the best. It's brother, the only milk in my mind.
I've found you. Finally. You know, my favorite.
There's one other out there.
Huh? My favorite strawberry milk memories are like the tin that you have to open with a spoon. And you have to pop it open.
That.
Yeah. And then the way when you put the strawberry sugar crystals in the milk, the way that they don't always completely dissolve. And so sometimes there's a little graininess to it. And oh man, when you buy it, that it's already pre-made, right? It doesn't have that. It's like, it's missing some extra unctuousness because you didn't add the crystals yourself. I think.
I feel like too, when you add the crystals, it becomes like multiple different beverages because you got the top, which is like crystal free and kind of flavored. But by the time you get to the bottom, it's just like pure strawberry crystal flavor goodness. And I, you know, who wants a one note milk, really?
I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
I am a person who grabs a gallon of milk, whole milk, out of the fridge and just chugs it. And I have to like put my hand in the air when I do it for some reason. But it's and there's certain foods that I won't actually eat unless I have a big chuggable milk around. Oh. And it usually has to be a gallon. Yeah, there's certain things like I will not eat chocolate chip cookies unless I have that, which is pretty obvious, right?
Yeah, that's pretty common.
But it's also like anything else that's like pretty much sweet. It could be like cake. It could be anything that's like overtly like sugar sweet, right? I will pass on it if I don't have a gallon or a half gallon of milk to chug from straight out of the carton. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so yesterday I stumbled upon a new one. Came home looking for lunch in a rush, wasn't much around, found some pineapple fried rice, and then a carton of eggnog. And whoa, it just worked. There was crunchy bits, there was sweet bits, and then the sweet, sweet like flavor of the eggnog washing it all down. It was, you know, a couple hours later, wasn't the best, but in the moment, phenomenal.
Wow. Wait, so what you... So you didn't make, you ate the fried rice with the eggnog by
its
side?
Just to wash it down.
Got it. Okay.
Just, you know, talking about needing something with something to chug.
Yeah. No, and I started to get this vision of you making some kind of, because you would do this, you're capable of this, of making some kind of fried rice with eggnog.
No, I'm not going to, well, I'd probably try it once, but no, I don't think so.
Isn't that the best? Try everything once. I say that to people when it comes to food. Try it once if you don't like it. I was reminded recently, and I'll take some guff for this, but I don't like baklava. I've never had baklava that I really liked. It doesn't cut it for me. And I was like, I always hear people talk about, baklava, so good. But there's something about it, like the graininess again working in not so good of a way. I had to.
I like that with celery. Everyone loves celery, but I just don't quite get it.
Well, you like it for cooking, at least. You like it as an aromatic.
No.
You don't use it as an aromatic, really?
I mean, if it's just, you know, if I'm cooking for myself, absolutely not.
Well, so even if you're making like Southern food, where they, what do they call that? They call it the Holy Trinity. But maybe that's not celery. That's green onion or green pepper.
It's onion, green pepper, and celery.
Yeah, or mirepoix. That's what I'm thinking of too.
Yep, I also avoid it there if I can.
Wow, that's amazing. So
just double down on onion.
Man, see, and you're trained, so I trust you. There's moments where I feel like I'm following recipes, and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably just following the recipe, and it doesn't actually need this thing, but I want to follow the recipe anyways because I'm a good little boy who listens to the words that are printed that he assumes are going to work out in a recipe, and it doesn't always work, or it doesn't always make a difference if I omit something, you know?
Yeah. I find that most recipes shouldn't be treated as the gospel, you know? Like, it's just some other person out there who came up with a list of stuff that they think is good together. So it's not going to necessarily be what you like together. So just do whatever you want.
I love that. Well, I want to talk more about recipes after we have a musical break, but speaking of pineapple, do you want to introduce the song that you brought for us today?
Oh, did I bring a song?
Yeah, it's a Rupert Holmes song.
Oh,
I've got it all queued up.
The Pina Colada song. I love that one. It's my gym jam.
This is your gym jam?
Yeah.
Are you going to work out while we listen to this song right now?
You know.
You can lie. You can lie. Nobody can see you, Buster.
Yeah, no, I know. I can see myself.
You can see yourself, and you're not gonna treat your listeners like that. That is yeah, the right way to be. Let's listen to Escape by Rupert Holmes.
There we go.
And be right back to talk more about recipes, pizza, and I want to talk about ramen too with Buster Ferris here. Stay tuned, Buster.
Thank you for having me, Paul. This has been great.
Well, yeah, this is fun. I love to just get down to why I'm wrong about a bunch of things, and I'm learning that today. I'm both right.
You're not
and
wrong about much.
Yeah, that's my man. Yeah, like celery baklava, we've got that figured out. Big thumbs down. Although I will celery from time to time. I love the smell of it. You know, do you rock the celery root ever? You ever mash up a celery root?
No.
Oh man. See, I think
I do. Well, I do celery salt on a hot dog. That's the only exception.
Okay. So yeah, you know what I did always think was gross and never understood was the frogs on a log, or ants on a log.
Yeah, that's
ants or
vile.
Frogs. Yeah. Like, what were they trying
Some
to do to us?
Monsters came up with that.
It's so bad. It's so bad. They hate us. They just hated us as kids, I guess.
Trying to stunt us from a young age.
So maybe you can help break me out of this, because I am like an inveterate recipe follower, and I've had to really learn like to throw away the recipe and say, you just go with your gut, you know? And like sometimes, and I know I get this from my mom, and you know, she makes great food and pretty much follows a recipe every time. It's not like transcendent, but you know, she gets there, and for her, that's her way. And I feel like she's the one who taught me how to cook. And so for better or worse, mom, you trapped me in this box and I forgive you, but I'm trying to break out of the box you trapped me in. I was wondering what was your development like with cooking? Like, you know, were you following recipes at first? Did you throw them away at some point and say, hey, I can actually do this, you know, sort of based on my culinary knowledge? How did it work for you?
Well, I guess from a young age, I always hung out in the kitchen with my mom. She's a great cook. And, so I'd just watch her recipes, I suppose, or watch her make it, whatever it was. But then, I don't know, as you grow, you know, you find what you like you take what you didn't like about what they made, even though she's never made anything bad in her life. But, you know, like, it's just, you just kind of find your way, man.
Yeah. Okay. So I should just find my way. Like what I'm learning, and David Chang, I'm a huge David Chang follower. And something he says is that, you know, recipes, in his opinion, have ruined American home cooking, because people are so obsessed with the recipes that they don't actually just like learn the basic techniques and then kind of adventure out on their own. That the recipes are actually what makes people worse cooks in America more than anything else.
I can get behind that. I mean, there's so many people, you know, like you can make a spaghetti sauce, but you have to do it the same way, you know, like, so can you actually make it? I mean, you're really good at reading someone else's directions and following them, but I don't know, you know, what if you don't like it?
Yeah.
then you're done making spaghetti sauce forever. You know what I mean? You're not going to try something different.
Right. If the recipe is bad, you might just assume that it was bad because of the recipe.
Exactly.
And that you couldn't actually find success on your own. Yeah.
And also then, like, you know, say you go to the supermarket or the grocery store, wherever you go, and they don't have something. That's what your heart was set on. And they don't have this thing that's part of the recipe. Now what are you going to do? You going to make it without it? You going to branch out? Or are you going to be like, oh, guess we'll go to CJ's?
Yeah. And I mean, that you wouldn't be like that wrong to go to CJ's. As long
Never.
As you don't go to the bathroom there. No offense, CJ's. All opinions are my own.
The shower there is not too bad.
The shower curtain is what's the protecting you from the world when you go potty there.
Yeah.
That's all you've got. Well, okay, so I know this is a pizza party, but pizza party is my term for a filter episode where we talk about food, and I never want to completely limit it to pizza, but, you know, what evokes, like, fun and the delight of food more than the idea of a pizza party? Yeah, you don't say ramen party, and everyone's like, woohoo, you know, ramen's just something you do. You don't really have a party about it, I don't think. But I want to talk about ramen.
If you invited me to a ramen party, I'd be there.
You know, I mean, I would be, I would too. So I'm going to have to question this. It's just not something that's in the vernacular yet.
Yeah, at least ours. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that if you invited me right now, right here, to a ramen party, the chances of me getting there over a pizza party are probably higher.
Really? Interesting. So you'd be at a ramen party before you'd be at a pizza party. And this is all, we'd all be following COVID protocols, of course, but
yes.
We would be like 6 feet away. No, you're not supposed to laugh when you say that, Buster. Now everybody knows it. Oh, never mind. We'll cut this segment. No way. Oh, wait, this is live. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Well, so, that's just me at this moment. Like, I'm really craving that.
You're craving ramen. This is the season for ramen, you know?
It really is. I bet it is always the season for pizza.
It's true. You could do pizza year-round, and it sounds pretty good. And ramen, I mean, I do ramen year-round, and it always sounds good. And when I had Jake Beatty on this show, and we talked about ramen a little bit, almost as a joke, and then he was like, oh, you're taking this really seriously. Like, and then I sickened him when I told him that my favorite way to eat ramen now is you know, mixing up an egg in there, of course, but getting a slice or two of American cheese, preferably not Kraft, in there and stirring that up with it too, and maybe even a little butter, and of course some scallion, and if you got them, sesame seeds, and that's how I want to jam. That's
so
how
I do all that plus chicken tenders.
What?
Yeah, like you go down to Safeway at 10 o'clock and they got those fresh chicken tenders right out of the fryer. Bring it all home, chop them up, and throw that in the ramen too. Because then you get like the deep fried bits floating around and it's just eggy and creamy and cheesy and weird. It's pretty good.
Oh my God. So let's talk about this. You get, and I would like to note, shout out to Devlin Dudley. The last time we talked about Safeway chicken tenders on this show, he showed up after that interview with somebody else, and he had a huge bag of chicken tenders for me to eat while I did the rest of the show. So shout out to you, Devlin. Okay, so you go get chicken tenders. You chop them up into little pieces, medium-sized pieces?
Yeah, I'd say 1 to 2 bite-sized pieces.
Wow.
You want it messy. You want it everywhere, you know, when you're slurping it. It's not a neat affair by any means. And then, all right, I'll walk you through. I get my eggs. I boil them, you know, for 7 minutes so that the yolk is runny. And then while that's going on, you get your ramen going. You boil your noodles. Your noodles are cooked. You put those in the bowl. No broth. Then you chop up all your chicken, which is preferably hot if you've got any left after all the snacking. And then you throw that in. A couple of spoonfuls of some sort of peanut, chili oil, whatever concoction, the scallions, couple of slices of American cheese, whatever else you really want. I like to do a pat of butter when Jacqueline's not looking. And then you pour the broth over there, and it all kind of co-mingles, gets to know each other, becomes familiar for a minute. Yeah. And then by the time you get it in front of your TV or wherever you're going, it's just, it's ready, and you just go to town until you feel like you can't breathe.
So it's cooking while you're bringing it over to the TV, you know, to watch whatever people watch these days.
Know, it's becoming acquainted.
I love it. So when the chili oil you use, are you using like a Lao Gan Mai, like a Chinese spicy crisp or chili crisp, that kind of thing?
Yeah, pretty much whatever's in the fridge. But yeah.
Nice.
Let me go, That is, I think.
That's the jam for me.
Too.
That's the numbingness of that. I love how the Szechuan flavors just take over there.
Somehow like they get hotter throughout the soup. Like by the end, you've got all those bits at the bottom, and it's just like you've got a nice sheen of sweat and fat covering your face. It's just really good.
Mm. Well, so this is important in the time we have left. What, I mean, do you have a brand preference for ramen that you're using?
No.
Okay, so you'll just do you'll do it with anything.
I'll try anything. I'm there to explore.
But you're not like buying. You're not buying like the $2 bags of ramen they have now. Like the what's it called? It's so good. Nissin Rao. Those noodles that they're not fried. So that's the difference. They're more like they're ramen noodles.
Yeah, then they're like cryovac bags, those ones.
No, these are actually freeze dried as well. Yeah, they're called Nissin Rao, and it's just like Nissin made these ones that are more like restaurant ramen. You know, cause it's kind of fundamentally different. The ramens you're getting in a restaurant versus the ramens you're doing with Top Ramen. Right. So this one, the Rao, just kind of like, it tries to straddle those worlds, and it also straddles those prices.
Yeah. Got it.
But yeah, well then, so do you use the flavor packets when you make it too? Are you still putting the flavor packets in?
Yeah, I will. Or also like dip stuff in the flavor packet before, you know, back to the flavor crystals, you know, like
right.
Get a little get wet the appetite.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with it. And you're not afraid of a little MSG in your life either, are you?
No, I mean, I have some in the pantry.
Yes. Me too. I have it in a salt shaker.
Yeah.
Well, it might be a salt grinder. Yeah, but it's definitely like it's definitely present in the kitchen. I think you can overuse it, right? But you
just like the truffle salt, you know, like
right.
you gotta know when to say enough is enough. But you know, if you're like us and you love to eat and you live to eat, why wouldn't you want to make things taste better? MSG has a place.
I can't disagree with you. Well, I think we solved a lot of the world's cooking and culinary problems today. And I think there's probably so many more different types of food we could deal with. But I think that you have helped me understand that I need to get a double cheese, double mushroom pizza pretty soon. Maybe even later today. We'll see. Maybe I'll try and get that at free. No, my girls won't eat mushrooms. No, that just won't happen. And I can't really do a half double cheese, double mushroom. I mean, I could.
Pizza.
We could see. Maybe that would work. Maybe that would...
What is your go-to pizza then?
Oh, my go-to pizza is sausage and black olives, Italian sausage. But this is important, and I learned this from eating Domino's last night, like I said, at 11 p.m. I do not like it when the sausage is like in chunks that are not sort of uniform. I want the sausage balls. I want the balls.
Balls are huge. Another Penny Saver classic right there, sausage balls.
Yeah, they got sausage balls. Farino's also has sausage balls. You know, I don't have any preferences for any of these businesses, but I do have a preference for sausage balls. So if you carry sausage balls, you have my attention.
I will patron your business.
Yes.
100%.
Call out those sausage balls. And I know there's some people who will not show up if you have sausage balls. So maybe maybe that's the deal. It's not everybody wants.
Let me rewind, actually. If you have sausage, let me know and I'll stop by.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. And we'll determine if it's the proper ball of sausage versus,
I mean, I've never met a sausage I didn't like.
That's true for me, too. That's true for me, too. We can end on that note.
Yeah.
Buster and I have never met sausages we don't like. And we hope that this first part of our pizza party has been elucidating to you. Buster, do you have any shout-outs before we go, before I send you back to work?
Yeah, I want to shout out to Murray and Pochi and my lovely girlfriend, Jacqueline.
Boop, boop, boop. There's my air horn. I don't have the effect queued up. Well, thank you, Buster. Thanks for being here, and we'll have you back on again soon next time we're talking about food or wood.
Sounds good, Paul. Thank you very much.